Well, praise the Lord. Father God, I thank you for this opportunity to share your word with these, your people today. I thank you that revelation and knowledge is flowing freely, unhindered, and unrestricted by satanic forces or demonic hindrances. Lord, think through my mind, speak to my vocal cords. You know the needs of these, your people today, not I. I ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right, we're going to get into living by faith in Jesus. This is actually part four. I didn't change that to that 3 to 4, but this is actually part four. Living in the realities of his cross is what we're going to talk about. Alrighty. So living by the realities of his cross. Living by the realities of his cross. Alrighty. Praise God. So living by faith in Jesus is about the finished work of the cross. Jesus' cross is the foundation of your identity and your walk with God. Everything God gives comes from what Jesus has accomplished. So everything that God blesses us with and gives us is based on what Jesus has already accomplished. That's so very important. So here in part four, we're going to learn, or you're going to learn, you are accepted because Jesus took your place. You are free from shame and healed because he carried your pain. He did it for you already. And you're blessed. You're going to learn you're blessed, provided for, and made God's child because he removed the curse and brought you into his family. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. So let's make this happen. So we're going to have three sections as always, usually. We're going to look at you are accepted, not rejected. You're free from shame. Healed in every area, and we're going to talk about blessed, provided for, and made God's child. Praise God. So, section one, let's get started. You are accepted by God because Jesus was rejected in your place. So Jesus was on that cross, he was rejected. Now I was going to say something, I'm going to hold that for later. So his cry on the cross shows the price he paid so God could freely help us. All right. So in Matthew 27:46, it says, in about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. And that is to say, my God, why have you forsaken me? So God turned his back on his son, Jesus, because God cannot look upon sin. Any sin is a result of the death penalty. The scripture says anyone that hangs on the cross or hangs on the tree is cursed. So God couldn't look on him. So Jesus took our place. So by faith, you have to accept that reality. Okay, this is what our Christianity is about. So you don't let the enemy try to condemn you. You know, once a person gets saved, what the enemy loves to do is to try to condemn you and keep you stuck in your past. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. So you have to begin to make the reality of what happened on that cross your reality. Does that make sense to you? Alrighty. Because that's what happened. Okay, Jesus became the sin sacrifice, so nothing would stand between you and God's help. His rejection opened the way, meaning Jesus' rejection opened the way for you to come boldly, confidently, without fear, knowing that God is ready to fix you, fix any problem that's in your life. He's ready to help you, correct you, restore you, and deliver you because he loves us. That's why he does that. He did what he did because of love and doesn't want us to stay the same. As Christians, we must remember that God doesn't want us to stay the same. He doesn't want us to stay in the same position. Anyone that doesn't understand that is deceived. It's about allowing him to change us and conform us into the image of his glorious son, Christ Jesus. Okay? So when we look in this word, we should look into this word so that we can see who we are in him. We look into the mirror of the word. And you should like what you see when you're looking at you. I like what I see when I look at me, when I'm looking in the mirror. Doggone it. See who you are in that word.
Hallelujah.
Amen. That's the truth. If you're not seeing who you are in Christ in the Word, well, you might not be taught the gospel. Alrighty. Alrighty. I know this is simple, but a lot of people don't understand their salvation. Huh? They've been churched. So God's acceptance removes insecurity. So if anyone is insecure, it's because they have not truly embraced the reality that they are accepted by God. You should never feel insecure in the presence of God or in church. You should never feel less than. You are a child of God. You're accepted. You're holy. And you're above reproach in His eyesight. So any insecurities are removed when you grasp that reality. And that's what strengthens your faith. He accepts you. Why? Because He loves you. Everything that Jesus did for us was to manifest the love of God towards us. So in Ephesians 1:6, as you can see up there, it says, to the praise of the glory of His grace. Grace is God doing for you and I what we couldn't do for ourselves. We couldn't save ourselves. We can't deliver ourselves. We can't heal ourselves. We can't change ourselves. So grace is God doing for us what we can't do for ourselves. By which He made us accepted. See that word? In the beloved. We are accepted in the beloved. I remember when I was younger, in my younger days, I never felt accepted in a lot of people's presence. Trying to serve God to the best of my ability, trying to learn, living right for real. But they had this aura about them like they had it all together. You know, I'm not talking about them. I'm just telling you the experience I had. I'm observing. And those same people that I thought was all that in a bag of chips, well, they had a lot of issues going on in their life. They had more problems than me and then had the audacity to try to teach me. But you don't know no better when you're young. All righty. Prideful people with pride and intellect have a way of making the average Joes feel like they're nothing in the eyes of God. You should never feel that way when you go to church. Our job is to build you up in who you are in Christ. Amen. And you should feel accepted. I'm not talking about that old false stuff, too. I'm talking about you should know. And the only way you're going to see that you're accepted in the eyes of God is someone needs to show you this in the scripture so you can go home and meditate on it and get it inside of your heart. So that's why we're going over this. Okay, so you're accepted. You're not rejected. Alrighty, so again, in Hebrews 10:22, it says, let us draw near with a true heart, full of assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. Sprinkle what? The blood of Jesus is what removes that evil conscience on us. And our bodies washed with pure water. Hallelujah. He cleanses us. You know. Salvation is beautiful when you really grasp the concept of it and understand it. It's a beautiful thing. So when you know that God is not pushing you away, you stop holding back. When you understand that He wants you to come closer to Him so you can be with Him and learn, you know, like a child, a father with his son. I want to spend time with you. I want you to know that I care about you. And no matter what you're going through in life, I'm here to help you. That's the Father we serve. He's a God that loves us. And everything He does is to help us. And where is His help at? Where is His help? His help is in Jesus. Jesus is the manifested love of God. Alrighty, so acceptance produces assurance. Acceptance produces assurance, and assurance produces strong, steady faith that receives God's help freely. You understand He ain't going to bang you over the head. And He's going to say, oh, okay, you messed up. Well, get up. Let me dust you off. Let me help you up. You know, that's why I like what it says in John, where it says that we practice righteousness. We're on team righteousness. We're on team Jesus. We have our robe of righteousness on. We have our jerseys on. We have our uniforms on. Well, when you go, when you play sports, you have a playbook and you go and you practice. Why? Because practice makes you better. It makes you proficient. You know, And that's what God wants us to do, is to practice living righteous, or practice living right. A lot of people are not practicing living right. They like living in sin. They like their old nature, and they're actually deceived, you know. And when you go to church, you know, reverend should be teaching you how to live godly scripturally. I'll say that again, how to live godly scripturally. Amen. I don't care about folks' philosophies, their opinions. They're preaching a lot of opinionated stuff. Show me what the words say, because that's what never changes. That's what God honors. He honors his word. And we're supposed to live according to what the scriptures say. And he's not going to ask us to do nothing we can't do. All righty? So again, our acceptance is secure because it rests on Jesus' finished work. We're accepted because he sees us through the eyes of Jesus. He sees us through what the blood of Jesus has already accomplished for us. You understand that? And that's why he told me to build this ministry on his son Jesus. Preach Jesus, build them up in Jesus. He said, build them up and I'm going to pull them out. Without Jesus, we're nothing. Well, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for Jesus. Wasn't for him, we'd still be lost.
Yeah.
So in Romans 8, 38 through 9, it says, for I am persuaded. Look at this. I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing. Look what it says there. Should be able to separate us. Make that personal. When you read the scriptures, make it personal. Say, nothing shall be able to separate me from the love of God, which is where? Where? In Christ Jesus our Lord. It's telling you where God's love is. Where's God's love? It's in Jesus. That's why I say that Jesus is the manifested love of God. And on that note, you can't find, the Bible says, he says to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and body, right? Well, in 1 John, it says, we love him because he first loved us. Love loves first. Now, my wife don't like me to say this, but I pursued her first. I did. Love first. I pursued her first. So God loves us. And in response, he wants us to love him back. And Jesus taught to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and body. And then love thyself. Love thy neighbor as you love yourself. You can't love people if you don't love yourself. And the way you love yourself is abiding his love first. And when you abide in his love flows out to other people. So you don't have to love people through your own ability. If it's hard to love people, it's because you're not abiding in the love of the Lord. Okay? And so what I want to talk about, when I brought that up, because a lot of times people look for love in all the wrong places. Looking for love in all the wrong places. Looking for love. The love you're looking for is Christ Jesus. Amen. Only God through Christ can fill that void. You can't even get love in your marriage and relationship. That doesn't take the place of God. The love for your children can't take the place of God. Never teach your children to love you more than God. See, because we can't love right until we connect it to love himself. And love flows through the Lord. I'll say that again. The love flows through the Lord. So nothing can separate us from that love. So when you have faith in that, the love of God, it moves all the fear. Oh, man. All right, let's move on. Ephesians 2:13, it says, but now in Christ Jesus, you were once far off and have been brought near. How? How was you brought near to God? By the blood of Christ. And in 1 John 3:1, it says, behold, what manner of love. Look at this. Love that the Father bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. That's why I don't call myself by some denominational name. I'm not a denomination, I'm a child of God. Amen. I'm not a theologian, I'm a child of God. See, theologians are trying to figure God out. When you're a child, you know your daddy. Huh? Huh? I said, when you're a child, you know your daddy. When you know your daddy, You ain't got to try to figure him out. I talk to him. He talks to me. I know my Father. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Where he at? In me. Look hard. All righty, come on now. So you are accepted so God can help you. This is important. He wants you to understand. God wants to help you in every area of your life. He does correct you. He heals you. He walks with you in every day. So all because of what Jesus has done for us. Jesus allowed God to move back in with us. Glory to God. Man, Jesus allowed God to tabernacle back with us. Man. Oh man, what happened to the religious messages? I don't preach religion. I teach relationship. Don't have a relationship with your church. Have a relationship with your Savior.
Amen.
You are the church. Church means called out. Ecclesia, to be called out of darkness into the marvelous light, into the family of God.
Yeah.
Your child, you're his children. We're his children. All right, section two. Free from shame to be healed. The enemy loves to try to put shame on you and blame you. You know, sin wasn't your fault. You were born in the sin and shaping in iniquity. You had no choice in the matter. See, God is a just and a fair God. That's why he sent his son Jesus. That was his whole plan. When Adam messed up, he said, oh, I got a new Adam. I got my son going to come do this. But he kept it to himself. All them years, God already had a plan in place. Glory to God. You know what? We as parents, we do the same thing. You know, we know our children are going to be, they're going to be children. They're going to make mistakes. And we already plan to help them out when they mess up. Yeah, you'll figure that out. We will never forsake them. We will never forsake them. Will we? No. So God's not going to forsake us. All right. So you are free from shame because Jesus carried it for you. In Hebrews 12:2, it says, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. So we look to Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Why? For the joy that was set before him. That's you and I. He endured the cross, despising the shame. He did it all for us. He, all of that. He took that shame. He despised it for us. He took it on for us. So you don't have to walk around in shame. Shame has no place on him. So it no longer defines you. Shame doesn't define you. Shame doesn't control you or speak over your identity anymore. What is that? We all have some things. I say this. We all have some things that we don't want to be seen on the big screen in our life. We all do. You know, I don't want people to see some things I've done, you know, and I don't want to see the things you did. I don't care. You know, I don't need to know. I don't care. Amen. It's all been wiped clean by the blood. So shame has no place. Don't let the enemy cause you to feel shame of your past. He removes that. You're sorry. You repented. It's over. It's over. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. Move forward. Stop crying about the past. That's what the devil wants you to do. You'll never be able to enjoy the future that he has for you. Oh, man. If you do not. I was meditating on this today. Woo, glory to God. I got to go to this scripture. I was meditating on this today at lunch. You will never reach or obtain everything that God has laid up for you, letting the enemy blame you and shame you for what you did in your yesterdays. All things are new. And you'll never be able to fulfill God's desire for you continuing to hold on to shame. And anyone that puts shame on you is of the devil. See, they ain't experienced their forgiveness. So you should never be bringing up the past. What you bringing up the past for? Huh? Why are you thinking about what somebody did wrong to you? You ain't forgave them yet? Okay, well, then God ain't forgave you either. But I want you to see this here. I want you to see the scripture here. Let me pull this up. I was meditating on this at work today, and this thing blessed me. Ooh, glory to God. I got something he's got cooking, a teaching he got cooking. Glory to God. It's a good teaching too, man. I'm holding that thing. I'm letting that thing simmer. Simmering, man. You can smell it. It's going to be a good teaching, man. Glory to God. So I want to go to, I'm going to go to Psalms 31:19. Psalms 31:19. Glory to God. So I'm going to get this and I'm going to put it on the screen for you. Glory to God. This is good stuff. I was just meditating on this. Really bless me, man. Hallelujah. Look at this. Psalms 31:19. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'll make it in green. It says, pardon me. Oh, how great is your goodness, which you have. Look what this is. This way hit me. Which you have laid up. Laid up. There's some goodness laid up for those who fear him, which you have prepared for those who what? Trust in you in the presence of the sons of men. Glory to God. He's saying, I got some stuff laid up for you. I got some goodness laid up for you. I got some good. That's what excited me. I said, oh God, which you have laid up. And I was like, I fear you, Lord. I reverence you, Lord. Why? Because I want all that goodness you got laid up for me. Glory to God. Oh, I'm going to trust you, Lord. I'm trusting for all. He got some stuff laid up for us. Man, glory to God. Huh? That's Psalms 31:19. Glory to God. Look at it. Look at 20. You shall hide them in the secret place of your presence. All that stuff from the plots of men. You got to hide in the secret place. Where the secret place? On the inside of you. All right. Let me. I don't want to get happy here because, man. I told you I got something cooking. Man, that blessed me when I was meditating on that today, boy. Ooh, Jesus. Yeah. Where am I at? Hallelujah. Alrighty, so shame has no place in your life. You now stand before God in honor. You saved. You're a child of God. You stand before him in honor, glory to God, not humiliation of your past. Because Jesus removed the weight of that shame from your life. He replaced it with his dignity. Glory to God. Dignity. Dignity. Amen. In Psalms 103:3, it says, who forgives all of our iniquities and heals all of our diseases. Some people have backslidden from the Lord. There's backslidden people in the pew. Going to church right now. Heart ain't for the Lord. But he says, I made a covenant with the backslider. And I will heal your backsliding. How come? Because you don't know Jesus. You never really came to get a deep heart understanding and knowledge of your salvation. So you're just a church folk. Or you'll leave because you're trying to get it right, but nothing's working, and you're not hearing what you need to hear about who you are and what you have in Christ, and so you get tired, and you're sincere. That's why you sincerely left. He was like, I'm tired of the church full of hypocrites, and I understand that. I was there. I'm done with all that, man. But he will heal your backsliding, and the way he healed my backsliding, it says, they wasn't teaching you about my son Jesus. That's why. Now, I want you to go back and teach about my son, Jesus. Oh, yes, Lord. You know, so if you get tired of hearing me teach about Jesus, well, you're on the road to backsliding. All right. The same God who removes your guilt also removes your sickness. He restores every part of you, your spirit through forgiveness, your body through healing, your soul through his presence. He heals your mind, your will, and your emotions. His presence does that. Glory to God. Amen. This is a ministry day. Just receive him today. Receive what Jesus has done for you. His presence making you whole from the inside out. You become whole from the inside and it manifests out. You are made complete, completely new because God related you or connected you in Christ. He recreated you, reconnected you, and related you in Christ. So you've been recreated. And because you've been recreated, you're not related. You're related to God now. Reconnected to Him. Amen? In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they still wallowing in their past mistakes.
No.
They're still talking about their problems.
No.
They're walking around with a wowsy, woo-woo mentality. Eeyore mentality. Eeyore. Huh? Mm-hmm. They're like bad luck slept rock with a rain cloud. They're like Pigpen on Charlie Brown looking like a Pigpen. No, no. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. You no longer live in the land of Lodibar. You're feeding at the master's table. You're eating with the king. You're feeding with him. And you get a whole new diet, man. You get a new diet. You eat on Jesus, man, your life changes. You feed on him. He said he's the bread of life. Glory to God. He says, eat his blood, eat his body and drink his blood. It is drink indeed. Huh? Praise the Lord. It says, old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You got to understand that reality when you gave your life to Jesus Christ. Yeah. Oh, yeah. What about it? It's over. He's going to help you through any mess you made. See, he's got mercy for your mess.
Hallelujah.
That's the whole point of it. He got mercy for your mess. In fact, his scripture says that his mercies are new every morning. Huh? So we got plenty of mercy for our mess. Why? Because we're sincerely seeking to live godly. You got to be sincere about this. God looking at the sincerity of your heart. Are you for real? Are you just playing church? You going and God blessing me, but you ain't living like nothing. You're lying. You're deceiving yourself. You're deceiving yourself. But he helps those that are sincerely seeking change. He changes those that sincerely want to change. He delivers those that sincerely wants to be delivered, that cry out for deliverance, that cry out for help. He helps them. Everybody ain't crying out for his help. They just want more money. They want bigger. They want more money and nicer cars and big houses. Ain't nothing wrong with that. But do you want to live godly? That's the question. That's the question. Prosperity is a product of godliness. Godly prosperity is a product of godliness. I said godly prosperity. There's worldly prosperity, but I'm talking about godly prosperity. If you walk in godly prosperity, you're going to inherit the wealth of the wicked that's been laid up for you, the righteous. Okay, let me move on here. So your past is gone, your old identity is gone, and everything about you is made new through Jesus. You got to grab that in your heart. You got to let that become a reality in your heart, because the enemies will keep bringing up. He keep popping up. Now, I call them pop-ups. You keep popping up stuff from the past to put in your mind. You got to stand on something, man. You got to stand on the scripture. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new in my life. God heals the wounds no one else can see. Huh? I said, God heals the wounds inside your heart. That's the anointing of Jesus to heal the brokenhearted. The anointing of Jesus heals the brokenhearted. Hallelujah. So in Psalms 147:3, it says, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Huh? That's the anointing of Jesus. Jesus said, I was anointed to heal the brokenhearted. Mm-hmm. That's what he came to do. A broken heart, man, is a terrible thing. So those are hidden wounds that we have incurred at the hand of the enemy. He uses people that is supposed to love us to hurt us. Come on, man. We all been there some kind of way. Why? Because he wants you to get hurt so you can hurt others. So as long as you hurt, you're going to hurt others. Hurt people hurt people. Why you keep hurting someone? Because you won't let the King of Glory come in and heal your heart. Yeah. You're holding back on him. Let him heal it. Let him fix it. You ain't got to be shamed. That's why he had to remove the shame so he can heal the pain. Glory to God. He had to first remove the shame so he can heal the pain.
Amen.
And when you understand sin ain't your fault, man, glory to God. Amen. So the hidden hurts, the silent pains, the emotional scars, he touches them with the compassion of his power. His healing, it just changes you, man. That's why I don't like all that psychoanalytical crap. Trying to make me work hard to change myself. I could change myself. I wouldn't need Jesus. I just opened up my heart. Fix me, Jesus. Help me. Heal me. Fix those areas in my life that I've been wounded in my heart. I had to let him heal me from church hurt. Church folks hurt me too. Some of you have been hurt by church folk. What do you got to do? You got to let him heal you. Heal my heart, Lord, so I can stop being angry and bitter. We fight not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness. That's what the devil wants to do, to keep us fighting each other, hurting each other. And that breaks spiritual laws. And when you break spiritual laws, the curse has a right to come in on your life. All righty. Shame loses its grip when you see yourself through Jesus' cross. I said shame. Shame loses its grip. All righty. Glory to God. I've made mistakes in my past. Intentionally, well, that wasn't a mistake. I did bad things intentionally, I have, but I've made mistakes unintentionally. I meant well, but I went about a lot of things wrong. But it still caused problems for other people. Well, what do I do? I shared this. This is stuff that will heal people and help people. I talked about how I was in a relationship with someone else, and we went through some things and hurt each other. And I prayed for them. I prayed that what I did to them, I asked God to heal them from it. See that? See, when you know you've done someone wrong, won't you pray and say, Lord, heal them. Forgive me for the wrong I did, and I pray and I surround them with your love and heal them of the scar and those wounds that I caused them. Sometimes people have caused you heartache and pain and wound you. It's nothing like someone violating your trust. It hurts your heart, man. When someone violates your trust, it hurts your heart. Well, you gotta ask God to heal your heart. Because that's the only way it's gonna get out your heart. That's the only way it's gonna change. Or you're gonna harbor that bitterness for the rest of your life. A lot of Christians, I learned, is a lot of people, especially in those denominations, some of those denominations, you know, they wore long dresses and the clotheslines and all that stuff preaching. A lot of them had a lot of hurt in their hearts. And so their holiness was an angerness. It was angerness more so than holiness, because they was harboring wounds that was in their heart. And so that was their way of fighting back, not to get hurt anymore. But you're still hurting people because you're still angry. Why are you angry? Because you're not letting heal you. And what happens is then you get around people that preach on you for being angry, and it just adds insult to injury. They just keep beating you up. Well, you got a character problem. You got a this problem. They're hurting inside, you ignoramus people. And you got to ask God to heal them. Rain down healing on their hearts. They don't have a character problem. They got a heart. They got a hurting heart. And Jesus was anointed to heal the brokenhearted, which edumacated sales trying to help people with psychology. Only God can heal a man's heart, a woman's heart. Only God can do it. And when you understand that, you'll see more people converted and changed. They're looking for love. And only the love of God can fill that void, not you. And you can't do the work of the Holy Spirit. There's only one thing you can do, is pray. If my people will humble themselves and pray, I will heal the land with your prideful selves. People are hurting out here. And you're so deep, you don't see that. You can't even recognize the true pastors from the false, because you caught up in a entertaining preaching preacher. The ones that is called is the ones that's been wounded and hurt, and then he's healed their hearts, and they have a compassion that flows from them, and they understand what someone been through. And so they're not preaching out of their psychoanalytical mindset. They're ministering from their heart, from a position of prayer, asking God to help them like he helped them. The man, madman in Gadara, when he was delivered, Jesus, he wanted to go with Jesus. He said, no, go back and tell them all the good things that I have done for you. The most effective way to help people is to help people just like you was hurt. You're an expert at it because you know how it feels to be healed and you know how it feels to be hurt. Alrighty, I'm done with that. I don't even know if I finished that. Let's move on here. Romans 6:4 says, therefore we are buried with him through baptism into death. It's my time here. Just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. Did you see that? This is very important. When you receive baptism, you should always rehearse that in your mind. When you went down, understand I'm dead to the old man. I'm alive. I'm rising again to the new life in Christ. Put that image in your heart. Worship God. Rehearse your baptism. The old man is dead. I'm now resurrected in Christ Jesus. This is how it works. God looks at what you're meditating on in your heart. So when you meditate these scriptures and imagine yourself walking in these scriptures and this reality, that activates the power. Glory to God. So the old life is ended. And when you were united with his death, and a new life began when you were united with him in his resurrection. So you have to see by faith you've been resurrected to a new life in Christ. Meditate on that on your bed at night. Lord, I thank you that I have a new life in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. The enemy tries to put those pop-ups in your mind about the past and try to make you feel guilty or shame for the mistakes you made and blame you. It's over. You say, I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. I'm dead to that. I'm dead to that. I'm alive in Christ. You are no longer defined by what happened to you and what was said about you, or what you once believed about yourself. All those things that you felt about yourself, no. No. You are what the Bible says you are in Christ Jesus. I'll say it again. You are what the scripture says you are in Christ Jesus. Amen. And I got to say this to people. And yes, there's neither male nor female, no Jew nor Gentile, but you're still a woman. I'm still a man. What is he saying? He's not saying he's ignoring gender. He's not saying he's ignoring color or nationality. He's saying you're all one family in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
He created gender in this natural world. He created nationalities in this because he wanted it. That was his desire. But we're all one family in Christ Jesus. So stop walking in racism and reactionary racism. All right. You are defined by what Jesus carried on that cross for you, what he healed and what he restored to you. Because of Jesus, you walk in honor instead of shame. I'm saying the same thing. Wholeness instead of brokenness. Confidence instead of fear. Now walk in the new you. I'm new. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. So you can't fulfill your, you can't fulfill God's dream for your life. God has a dream for you. You are God's dream seed. But you can't fulfill his dream for you holding on to the past. You have to die to it. Literally die to it. And there's people that want to continue to look at you from yesterday. Those are the people that you have to pray for. Lord, let them see who they are in Christ. Let them learn to die to their past. Let them learn how to walk in their own forgiveness so they can learn to forgive others. Do you understand? You can't walk, you can't forgive others until you learn how to walk in your own forgiveness. I mean, this is good stuff today. Section 3. Blessed, provided for, and made God's children. You've been blessed, provided for, and made God's children. That's what happened. That's what happened. That's what happened on that cross. The empowerment of God, the blessing of God came on you when you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You're blessed because you believe in Jesus. Oh, glory to God. You got to understand that. I'm blessed because I believe in Jesus. That's what empowers the blessing on you. Now he's able to provide for you because you're his child. He ain't providing for the devil's children. He's not providing for people that's out there living in sin. They're deceived. He doesn't bless ungodliness. He had to tell me that, man. I was one time looking at someone on Facebook talking about how blessed they was and God blessing me. And I'm like, man, yeah, praise God. And Lord spoke to me. He said, I don't bless sin. I don't bless sin. I don't bless sinners. I'm merciful to sinners, but I don't bless sin. I'm not blessing that person. I said, whoa, whoa, whoa. They ain't living right. They smoking weed. They drinking. They cussing like sailors. This, that, and have the audacity to say God bless them because they got a bag. The God of heaven didn't bless them. They're deceived. The God of mammon is deceiving them. Just because you got money don't mean God blessing you. Okay. He blesses the righteous, those that are practicing their righteous, those that are living godly. So don't get all excited because people talking about God, but we, what, let's qualify that. They don't talk, they don't mention the name Jesus. You know why? Because they can't. You can't say you're living for the Lord and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and living in sin. I mean, practicing every day still. Still trying to find someone to have sex with. You ain't trying to get married. You just want to have sex. Well, I'm looking for somebody faithful. Stop looking for people. Look, accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Get serious about living for the Lord. And then he will bring your spouse to you.
Amen.
Seek him first. Love him first. Receive your salvation first. Walk in the goodness of God first. Get delivered first. Get serious about the Lord first. Okay, well, Brother Larry, you're judging. You know I ain't judging. I'm telling you the truth. Repentance means to change your mind, change your ways, and live godly. If you ain't doing that, you are deceived. Somebody need to teach you that. You are deceived. You're going to hell. I know you believe in God, but do you believe in living godly? That's the question. There's a lot of people who believe in God, but don't live godly. You are blessed because Jesus became a curse in your place. In Galatians 3, 13 and 14, it says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. That's what the blood did. It broke the power of that curse off of your life that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles. How? In Christ Jesus. Praise God. The blessing is not something you earn. You don't work for it. It is what you inherit through your faith in Jesus. The blessing is an inheritance. God. So when you gave your life to Jesus Christ, you inherited the blessing. But you can't inherit the blessing living in sin. You can't inherit it. An inheritance, your inheritance comes with qualifications. And the qualifications is you living for the Lord, living godly. That's got to be the desire of your heart above all else. And for a lot of people, living godly is not the desire of their heart. So you stand in the blessing because Jesus removed the curse, and nothing in your past or present can disqualify it. What he has already secured for you, provided you allow him to be the Lord over your life and help you live godly. That's the only thing that can disqualify you from it. He's already paid for it, but it's for people that want to live for the Lord for real, that want change, that want to live holy and righteous and a clean life. And it doesn't matter. It's never too late. You can change your mind and come to Jesus anytime you want. And once you give your life, even if you backslid, once you repent, it's over. You're back in the family. Help me, Holy Spirit. I see it. The prodigal son. He wasted his inheritance. And he woke up and realized, oh man, I don't have to be out here slopping pig slop around. I can go back to my father. I'm going to tell him I'm sorry. I'm going to tell him I messed up. I'm going to tell him I didn't drink and I didn't mess my body. I'm sorry, Father. I sinned against you and I sinned against heaven. I sinned against my body. And here he come. So he rehearsed. He told God. He said what he was going to. He rehearsed what he was going to say. And when he got there, he said it to him. He said exactly what he said he was going to say. He said, hey, he didn't even pay attention to it. Go get the fatted calf. The fat one. The fat one in the back and kill him. We're going to eat good today. Go get him some shoes. Go get him a robe. Hey, go get a ring. Total restoration. Amen. All he had to do was repent. He says the gifts and the callings are without repent. He didn't change his mind. You're still my son. And I'm still going to use you. Yeah, there's a whole generation of people that he's going to use. A whole generation of backsliders is going to come back. And we on fire for the Lord.
Amen.
And we coming with nothing but thunder because we serious about this thing. You can't shim sham or shimmer. You can't pull a wool over our eyes. We won't fall for the banana in the tailpipe. We don't want religion. We want relationship. And there's a generation that ain't seeking religion. They seeking relationship. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right, I got to wrap up here. You are provided for because Jesus took your poverty on himself. In 2 Corinthians 8:9, though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. God's provision flows from Jesus' cross, not from your efforts or performance. Supernatural manifestations of grace and favor begins to happen. Promotion. Why? Because of what Jesus done. You have access to God's abundance because Jesus exchanged his riches for your lack, even for your financial mistakes. It doesn't matter. He's going to help you. It's giving you the right to accept his supply in every area of life. All righty. You are blessed because Jesus became a curse in your place. In Galatians 3:13-14, it says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. I think I said this already, didn't I? All right, praise the Lord. Double slide. My apologies. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm done. Let this teaching shape your life in Christ Jesus. You are accepted. You are free from shame and healed. He's healed you of your past, spiritually, physically, and financially. These are not goals you chase. You don't have to chase. You ain't got to chase the bag, man. When you get saved, you don't chase bags. Bags chase you. Let me move on. They are truths you live from. As you believe them, they guide you how you see God. They guide how you see God, how you see yourself, and how you walk out your faith in Jesus every day. He loves you, and he wants to procure his blessings and love upon you. So now may you continue to grow and overflow in who you are and what you have in Christ Jesus. I love you. Till next time. Amen. Amen. Praise man. Let the church say amen.